Windy City Queer Cast.
Gays and lesbians are all the rage.
We're here and we're queer.
Windy City Queer Cast.
Windy City Queer Cast.
Windy City Queer Cast.
Windy City Queer Cast.
We're talking mega gay.
Ooh, I like that.
I'm Amy Matheny.
This program is brought to you in part by American Airlines, offering exciting GLBT vacations online at aa.com/rainbow.
Listen to Windy City Queercast, show number 407. I'm Amy Matheny, and wow, what a week it has been. I kicked off the week with the gayest concert in the world. It's true. It could not have been gayer. Actually, Kelly, my partner, thought that she was not gay enough to attend this concert. I am talking, of course, in Chicago about the Scissor Sisters, which are an awesome, awesome queer-tastic band, pop band, bubblegum pop band out of New York City, who opened for the ultimate gay icon and idol of today, Lady Gaga, at the United Center and on her monster tour, her Monster Ball tour. And wow, what a show, what a show, what a show. Has she grown and expanded and evolved and had a meteoric rise since she performed as our guest artist at our 2008 Windy City Gay Idol competition. The finals were at Circuit Nightclub, and I introduced her, and I don't think anybody knew who she was when I walked out on that stage and before she hit it in 2008. And what I know is that within 6 months, her song Just Dance had been number one on the dance charts. She had performed at the Miss Universe contest. She had her song featured on the television show So You Think You Can Dance. And by January of 2009, she was opening the Grammy Awards. So it is quite extraordinary what has happened to her as an artist. And I have to say, she is fierce and feisty and brave and a bit messy, and I do mean messy more not just with the blood that gets smeared often on her body, but just, you know, she is what she was even back then. It's just all bigger and on a grander scale. And I'm sure many, many of you were there in the arena because it was packed and jumping and thumping. And I even saw down in front of me by the time that she got to the end and was doing her big finale, Born This Way, her big new single, which had also just reached number one last week, that the Scissor Sisters popped out and were actually dancing on the main floor watching her perform her finale. I think everyone realizes that this is a moment and that Lady Gaga has fully stepped into it and embraced it. And I think she's going to be bigger than Madonna. I want to know what you all think. Leave us a comment on our phone number or send us an email at podcast@windycityqueercast.com, because I'm really curious as to if you think she'll be bigger than Madonna when it's all said and done, because I think she will be. It's very different, you know, than Madonna. Kelly and I were talking about it, because Lady Gaga seems so much more accessible, even in the construction. I wouldn't even say design, but the construction of her concert, the costumes kind of feel like if you were a young kid, a young artist, that you could go out and get some red fabric and take a broom handle and strap it across the top of your shoulders and swag some red fabric on it, and you too could look just like Lady Gaga. Or you could take a big piece of plastic and put a safety pin in it and wrap it around your waist and have a rubber skirt like her. It all feels like we could be a part of it. And one of the most amazing things is that she is campaigning during this tour to help raise money for GLBT and allied and Q, GLBTQA youth who are homeless. And as we know, there have been so much more attention on gay youth the past 6 months, 8 months, based on the recent suicides that have reached the media and have been stories that have finally been shared. Who knows whether or not bullying has increased with the increased acceptance around gay and lesbian people across the United States. But the stories are actually getting out now. And I've always said that I feel that, you know, as we swing a pendulum to more acceptance, the backlash will be stronger and that we will be pushed against. And we're still seeing that. And you will see that some in our news today. But Lady Gaga is doing her part with texting during the concert and giving people numbers on how you can make donations to help GLBTQ homeless youth, a cause that she's standing behind throughout her entire concert. And she is giving every dollar of her Madison Square Garden concert, not the net, not what she, after expenses, what she would earn, but every dollar of that concert is going to her charities. And she's just announced a new, last week, announced a new relationship with Target Corporation and really has come down hard on them to support LGBT causes. So let me tell you, she is so aligned with us. It's crazy and good, crazy good. So, big, big show today, as we are going to continue the conversation that we haven't actually had on the show in a number of months about what's going on in the state of LGBT youth and how we are going to try to personalize today a little bit of this story about a new documentary that is getting made and a new art installation that will be happening here in Chicago that was inspired by a young gay youth's letter to an artist, a filmmaker in LA who is coming to town to try to tell the story of a young LGBT perspective living in the Midwest, specifically in a suburb outside of the city of Chicago, and what it means in kind of small town, small suburb life to a gay kid. So I'm very excited to be talking about the new documentary For Billy in our show, and to kind of get an insight into personalizing this story even more. And I know that that has continued with people submitting the It Gets Better videos, and that is what sparked this entire documentary. So big show with that, and news, and what's going on in the theater, and we're just so happy to be with you in this Gaga-tastic week.
Hi, I'm a Miller Lite Brewmaster.
Yeah, and I'm a Miller Lite Drinkmaster.
It's the Brewmaster Drinkmaster Show.
I just created a revolutionary aluminum pint bottle. Great new way to enjoy the taste of Miller Lite.
Wow. See, I just designed a new game day delicacy to be enjoyed with your great tasting beer, the 8-layer dip.
Well, the aluminum pint has a wider mouth, giving every sip a superior flow that delivers the great taste.
That's terrific. Most people flow from beef to bean to sour cream to cheese to guacamole to salsa to veggies. See, I'm not most people, though. I flow all the way to jambalaya.
Also, it's got a resealable cap that makes sure every sip tastes as fresh as the first.
Well, my dip is so hearty, it can last from a day game to a night game.
This isn't a competition, you know.
Okay, fine. You advance the science of drinking great-tasting beer, and I advance the art of enjoying it.
Introducing the new aluminum pint bottle from Miller Lite. Just another way for you to enjoy the great taste. Miller Lite. Great taste, less filling. Miller Brewing Company, Milwaukee, Wisconsin. Live responsibly.
I'm Kirk Williamson.
I'm Amy Matheny.
And this is The Week in News.
The White House has appointed Jeremy Bernard to the position of Special Assistant to the President and Social Secretary, the first man and the first openly gay individual to hold the title. Bernard will join the White House from the U.S. Embassy in Paris, where he serves as senior advisor to the ambassador.
The United States Supreme Court ruled 8-1 that the First Amendment protects an anti-gay protester's demonstrations in close proximity to a private funeral service. The case, Snyder v. Phelps, arose out of a conflict around anti-gay activist Fred Phelps and his followers staging loud and hate-filled protests near the funerals of American soldiers killed in Iraq. The protest signs claimed the soldiers deserved to die because American society was tolerating homosexuality.
In Philadelphia, the William Way LGBT Community Center will create affordable senior residences connected to the facility. Construction could begin in 2012 and would result in 70 apartments for low-income LGBT and ally seniors and many renovations to the community center.
The National Hispanic Media Coalition and the Gay and Lesbian Alliance Against Defamation have filed a joint complaint with the FCC against Lieberman Broadcasting, Inc. and KRCA, a broadcast television station serving the Los Angeles area. The complaint is in response to a string of broadcasts of the Spanish-language television talk show José Luis Sin Censura, which often contains indecent, profane, and obscene material, offensive language, nudity, and on-air verbal and physical attacks against women and the LGBT community.
The Regents at the University of Alaska voted 8-2 to approve a policy that bans sexual orientation-based discrimination. The proposal will add sexual orientation to an already existing policy that bans discrimination based on race, national origin, pregnancy, age, disability, and other classifications. The policy will cover almost 33,000 students.
In New Jersey, a jury awarded the gay couple Peter Kasbar and Noelle Robichaud $3.15 million after Burger King employees chased and beat them. A dispute with the person taking the orders escalated to the point where other workers became involved. The couple said that they were victims of a hate crime and brought the lawsuit under New Jersey's anti-discrimination laws.
Feminist sculptor and art historian Merlin Stone recently passed away after a lengthy illness. Stone is best known for her groundbreaking 1976 book, When God Was a Woman.
In Bourne, Massachusetts, fireman Richard Doherty has been fired after he posted anti-gay slurs on Facebook. Doherty, a veteran firefighter of 16 years, allegedly used profane language and bigoted remarks last year while criticizing local police officers, his deputy fire chief, and Bourne itself. A spokesman for the Firefighters Union said that they will appeal the firing.
In Louisiana, Reverend Grant Storms, one of the loudest voices against the annual gay event known as the Southern Decadence Festival, was arrested on February 25th for masturbating in a public park. Storms was arrested in La Frenere Park in Metairie, a suburb outside of New Orleans.
In Amarillo, Texas, a transgender woman is challenging a homophobic pastor for the position of mayor. Sandra Dunn is running against David Grisham, a minister who once called for a boycott of Houston because it has a lesbian mayor. Grisham's reaction to Dunn's announcement was, "I'm not sure that's who you want as mayor. If they're indecisive about who they are they indecisive about other issues?"
Harvard Divinity professor Peter Gomes died February 28th of a brain aneurysm and a heart attack at the age of 68. Gomes was an openly gay African-American Republican who had planned to retire next year after more than 40 years at Harvard. He was widely published, including his powerful book, The Good Book.
Oral sex has now been determined to be the main cause of oral cancer. Scientists say that 64% of cancers of the oral cavity, head, and neck in the United States are caused by HPV, which is commonly spread via oral sex. This year, 37,000 people in the United States will be diagnosed with oral cancer.
Openly gay, private first class Bradley Manning, the intelligence analyst accused of leaking U.S. government documents that WikiLeaks published, could face the death penalty. Manning now faces 22 more charges, including aiding the enemy, an offense that could have Manning put to death if he is found guilty.
Mike Gin, the out gay Republican mayor of Redondo Beach, California, plans to run for Congress. Gin will enter a special election for the 36th congressional seat vacated by Democrat Jane Harman. Gin, a 48-year-old Chinese-American, married husband Christopher Kreidel in 2008.
And pro-LGBT group Immigration Equality is planning to bring a lawsuit against the Defense of Marriage Act that would be the first ever to challenge the law regarding bi-national same-sex couples. Immigration Equality is suing on behalf of gay and lesbian Americans who are married but who are unable to sponsor their partners for residency under immigration law.
In world news, British cricket player Stephen Davies, 24, has become the first professional athlete in his sport to come out of the closet while still playing. Davies, who has been called to play on the Ashes tour to Australia, came out to his family 5 years ago and said that everyone has been completely supportive.
In England, a man who pled guilty to raping a teenage girl said that the sex was consensual until he found out that she was a lesbian. The girl, age 17, was using the bathroom on the grounds of Nottingham's Open University when James Hamilton forced himself on her.
In Serbia, far-right leader Mladen Obradovic has gone on trial for allegedly organizing a violent counter-protest during a gay pride march that took place last October. Obradovic has claimed that he is not guilty. Obradovic and 13 others face up to 12 years in prison, each if found guilty of violent behavior at the event, in which more than 100 people were injured.
In England, Dean Aro has been given a curfew of 10 p.m. and has been ordered to perform community service after harassing a gay couple. His community order will last for 6 months. Aro was also slapped with a year-long restraining order and an electronic tag he must wear for 3 months.
And in entertainment news, same-sex couple Bill Horn and Scout Masterson finalized the adoption of their 8-month-old daughter, Simone Lynn, with godparents Tori Spelling and Dean McDermott attending the event. Horn and Masterson are the gunkles, or gay uncles, to Spelling and McDermott's children, and the couple is prominently featured in the show Tori and Dean, Home Sweet Hollywood.
Talk show host Kelly Ripa and her husband Mark Consuelos are co-producing the second season of the series Be Good, Johnny Weir, which focuses on the openly gay figure skater. The 10-episode series will follow Weir as he prepares for the ice skating extravaganza entitled Spectacular.
Singer Britney Spears will perform March 29th in San Francisco in the Castro. It is not known if the performance will be live or taped.
Sex and the City writer-director Michael Patrick King has a new NBC drama, A Man's World, that features former Miami Vice star Don Johnson as a straight Beverly Hills hairdresser. The show is slated to debut this fall.
Legendary actress Jane Russell has passed away at the age of 89. The 40s and 50s pinup starred in dozens of box office hits, including Gentlemen Prefer Blondes with Marilyn Monroe.
Actress Meredith Baxter is alleging in a new memoir that her ex-husband, David Burney, hit her. In the new book, Untied, a memoir of a family, fame, and floundering, Baxter, who came out as a lesbian in 2009, also discusses alcoholism, breast cancer, and low self-esteem.
Dior chief designer John Galliano has been fired after a videotape surfaced featuring him making graphic anti-Semitic remarks. Galliano, who could be criminally prosecuted for the remarks, says, "I love Hitler," and tells two people they should have been gassed.
Lady Gaga made her runway debut in Paris for the Thierry Mugler show, walking in front of celebrities such as Anna Wintour. Mugler's autumn-winter 2011 collection was shown in a gym complete with black curtains and white arches. Gaga's new song, Government Hooker, premiered as she walked.
Sir Elton John will be the musical guest on Saturday Night Live on April 2nd. It will be John's first time performing on SNL in almost 3 decades, and it will be his first time hosting. And that's the weekend news brought to you by Windy City Times.
Hi, this is Katie Lang. You're listening to the Windy City Queercast.
Culture Club. Culture Club. Culture Club. Theater.
Music.
Dance.
Art.
Performance.
For the week of March 7th, 2011, you are in Chicago's Culture Club. Lifeline Theater continues its 28th anniversary season of unforgettable books brought to life with a world premiere adaptation of The Moonstone, the legendary mystery by Wilkie Collins. For tickets, visit lifelinetheater.com. The Moonstone runs Thursday through Sunday through March 27th. And for more Culture Club, visit windycitytimes.com.
Hello, Deb Pierce here, letting you know that we'd love to hear back from you, so go ahead. You know you want to.
post a comment.
Hello, with me, Miss Private, and we'll sail around the world. I will be off Adamant, and you my wayward girl. Many nights of talking in no towns can you take? Many nights of limping round on pagan holidays. Oh, elope with me in private and we'll set something ablaze. A trail for the devil to erase. San Francisco's calling us, the Giants and Mets will play. Piazza, New York, catch your eye, you straight or are you gay? We hung about the stadium, we got no place to stay. We hung about the Tenderloin and tenderly you tell about the saddest book you ever read. It always makes you cry.
Openly gay writer-producer Michael Anthony is on a mission to tell the true and intimate story of the painful struggles of growing up GLBTQ in small Midwestern towns in his documentary For Billy. And this is a coming home story for Michael, and the spotlight shines on Wheeling, Illinois, which happens to be his hometown. By connecting the present epidemic of gay suicide and despair to his own haunting past as a 10-year-old boy, For Billy will be an unprecedented look at how we can all be a part of the solution in helping young GLBTQA people everywhere and how we can get involved. So I'm thrilled to have Michael on the show after much correspondence. We're just finally getting a chance to really talk about what has sparked so much fire in his belly. So, hey, Michael, welcome to the show.
Oh, good morning. I'm so excited to be here. Thank you for everything.
Well, I'm so excited that you're going to be coming to our little neck of the woods because I believe you are here to blaze a trail. I mean, you definitely are very passionate about For Billy and this entire project and the journey that you are about to take us all on. Tell me where it all began. You made an It Gets Better video, right?
It's kind of a funny story because I made my original It Gets Better video, and it was absolutely horrible. Like, I was talking in my actor voice. I was, uh-huh. You know, I had no real emotion. It was very showy, and it was bad. And so I was like, you know what? I'm a writer by trade. I have a column, Queer Say by Gossip Gay. Probably shouldn't reveal myself, but a lot of people know who I am. So I was like, I want to do one, mm-hmm. but what can I do? So if you haven't seen it yet out there, you guys can just YouTube It Gets Better Michael Anthony, and I made a 7-minute cartoon, mm-hmm. and I pulled Reba McEntire into it. It's pretty kitschy and pretty... it's fun, and like Yahoo reported on it, kind of went around, The Advocate, that kind of stuff.
We want to know how you got in touch with Reba. That's what we want to know.
Well, I ripped her stuff, probably uh-huh. illegally, and her people called me to say she saw it, and you know, they said that she thought it was very cute, and I make fun of my brother a little, and she's like, I just think that's very mean, and uh-huh. you know, it was kind of like a nod of like confidence, you know?
Yeah.
And I got a lot of correspondence, just like, thank you, we thought it was funny, you know, posts and stuff. But then I ended up getting this semi-anonymous letter, I believe, from a kid in my hometown. And the letter's on the website, it's forbillythemovie.com, and it will rip your heart out. It's by no means like a suicide letter, but it's a very honest, like almost diary entry.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, this kid basically, I mean, there are certain lines in there that every time I hear them, I almost want to start crying, just like I'm slowly disappearing. No one knows who I am. I used to think I was special. I mean, there's one line in there that just says, I used to think I was special, but now people make me feel like I'm only a problem that's meant to be fixed. Mm. And after years of hearing that, I'm starting to believe that too.
Mm.
And I'm from Wheeling. I lived there 10 years ago. And to get that letter and think, you know, someone in my hometown still feels that way,
yeah.
that rips your heart out.
Yeah. And this was anonymous. It just came to you?
Yes, I mean, I received other pieces of mail, and of course, every time someone tells me their story or speaks with me, I feel so blessed, and I'm so thankful, and I hope it helps them as much as it helps me.
Right.
But this one letter, something about it just spoke to me in a different way,
yeah.
And in a way where I felt responsible, because I guess my personal story is in the video, which I think you should all watch because it will give you a funny 7 minutes.
Uh-huh.
It's about my first crush, my best friend, who I fell in love with, and uh-huh. I told him I loved him through a Reba McEntire karaoke mixtape.
Uh-huh.
I actually, in real life, I sat in my bedroom, played a Reba McEntire CD, and sang along to it
uh-huh.
to express my feelings, and I realized that even if he was into me, that probably wasn't the coolest move ever.
Right.
But and I'm tone deaf. So on top of that, in the video, I give you some samples.
Oh,
and,
yes.
Oh, it's not good. And he, of course, you know, freaked out. I mean, we were in eighth grade. What do you expect? And showed the school, and I became a laughingstock. And in the video, my mom tells me it gets better, and we, you know, we make up, he apologizes, and all is right with the world. And that's, it's kind of a cute way to wrap it up, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But in real life, what happened was we never spoke again. We went to the same high school. You know, I remember we would see, it would be one of those things when you, like, see someone, you make eye contact, but look away.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, never spoke. And, you know, I could tell he was going through some rough times as school started to wrap up senior year. And I, you know, I did pretty well for myself, graduated top of the class. I was class speaker, you know, that kind of stuff. And so mm-hmm. the night of graduation, I decided for no reason at all, just to write him a letter, just saying, you know, if you ever need someone, I know we're no longer friends. I know I don't know you, but you can call me. And mailed it to him. And 2 years went by, didn't hear anything, and then I got a call from him out of the blue. It was just a simple message just saying, please give me a call. And I was, you know, I made a conscious decision. I'm like, I'm in Los Angeles. My life is great. You know, this is old high school stuff. I don't want to rehash it. I never called him back, and then 9 days later, he killed himself.
Mm.
And
how did you hear that news?
My sister. You know, and it was no one told me for days, because I think everyone, my friends and stuff, they didn't, you know, my sister finally calls and says, I just want to know if anyone's told you yet. And I'm thinking, did my dad have a stroke? Like, what happened? And they're like, you know, the funeral's tomorrow. And I was like, oh, my God. Like,
and when you have something like that in a smaller town, having grown up in a small town myself, and, you know, that's news in a small town. I mean, I think that's what we're experiencing now, too, on a national level, when in these small communities, you know, suicide seems to be on a rise. Whether it is or not, or whether we're just covering it, is yet to be seen. But that's news in a small town when something like that happens. Not news like at the 6 o'clock news, but I mean, everybody knows, everybody's talking about it at the grocery store or church or all of that.
It, yes and no. Like, I think today, it's sad. I think there's like hot button issues mm-hmm. that are kind of circulating. Right now, that's a hot button issue, so it gets a lot of press.
Mm-hmm.
One of my friends, and this is kind of a tangent, but he, you know, was unfortunately gay bashed on Hollywood Boulevard. I live right off the boulevard, and it hasn't gotten much press because
yeah.
as we were calling the news, you know, it's like, you know, that, you know, there's a blurb about it, but that's just not really a press story. And 10 years ago, suicide for teens was a little bit more, you know, let's mention it, let's sweep it under the rug
right.
and let's move on. You know,
yeah.
we don't want to explore. And I want to make it very clear, I don't know what happened. I didn't know him for the last 6 years of his life. And part of this documentary is me reconnecting with his old friends, my old friends, just trying to sift through it because I've carried that guilt for
yeah.
10 years.
Yeah.
And I don't feel, at least from some of my research, that I'm not meaning his family or anything didn't mourn, didn't grieve. I'm sure they did. I don't. But his friends, some people are saying they don't feel he's gotten his proper celebration. Let's put it that way.
Yeah.
And this will be part of this movie.
Yeah. So Billy is a representation of many Billies out there. Perhaps Billy with a Y and Billy with an IE, or have you found the actual Billy who wrote you the letter?
No. And I've done a lot of research to make sure that it wasn't simple. You know what I mean? Gone through the yearbooks, gone through the phone book. I am fairly confident that's not his real name.
Mm-hmm.
Or, you know, he might not live in Wheeling proper, maybe Arlington, the suburbs, in case some of your listeners aren't from there.
Yeah.
My subdivision borders on three cities, Buffalo
right.
Grove, Arlington Heights, and Wheeling. So
right.
the
right.
suburbs are very fluid. It's not like, you know, Los Angeles into Orange County.
Exactly.
And I'm fairly confident if with my resources I can't find him,
yep.
a lot of people won't be able to. And the point isn't to find him. The point is to show him for
yep.
Billy. We're yep. doing an event, which we'll talk about and stuff, but I want him to see, and all the people like him,
yep.
that the town really does care.
Why a documentary? Let's start with the documentary first.
If anyone's an artist or a writer, I'm sure they will identify with my plight, but I used to go from Starbucks to Starbucks.
Uh-huh.
I would say, I'm going to sit down and write the screenplay today. I'm going to work on my spec or my pilot. And I'd sit there for 2 hours, and then I would get up, and I would drive to another Starbucks.
Uh-huh.
And nothing would get done. And then after this letter, everything in my life literally changed. I'm no longer at my full-time job that I was at for 7 years. It's given me a sense of purpose. It's given me a dignity I didn't have. There's mm-hmm. been some people in my life that have been like toxic friends and family, and I've point blank, when you're not speaking for yourself anymore, when you're speaking for a bigger cause,
mm.
it gives you the ability to say, I can't deal with this right now. Come on board and love me, or in essence, get out of my way. And the power I felt in 3 months about doing this, the fact that I have a great life, and yet it's only enhanced it and made it a million times better.
Yeah.
A documentary provides exposure and a national platform for other people to feel this.
Yeah.
We have some people on the project who went to my high school, who I haven't spoken to in 10 years, who, you know, they're not gay, you know, but they're artists or musicians, or they're passionate about the cause. And I remember one boy telling me, telling me, you know, I've been going through a rough time. I just got divorced. I haven't gotten out of bed in a month. And this has given me a reason to re-engage life. And I'm like, that's what's important. If people get on board and do something involved with this, I can, whether it be emotionally or literally, make sure they get out of bed in the morning and really give something back.
Well, it sounds like you've really collected people who also can bring their voice to it in whatever unique way it is. And a documentary lends itself sometime to a multitude of voices, perhaps in the way a book or, a fictional script, you know, is really just that one voice of the one writer. And it sounds like you're bringing together a lot of voices from this community and from your past, and I'm sure within the GLBT community. So you're coming to Chicago for how long, and what will you be doing while you're here?
I get there early March, right mm-hmm. around the corner.
Yep.
And I am there through March. I'm there into the beginning of April.
Mm-hmm.
And it's kind of two-pronged, the mm-hmm. documentary. There's the documentary portion itself, which I'm not really involving the city with. It's an exploration of bullying. It's using Wheeling, Arlington Heights, Buffalo Grove as kind of a template of every city in America.
Yep.
And my theory, and I don't know if your listeners will agree or disagree, bullying starts not in school, and I don't think that's getting enough attention right now. My mother told me this story, and I never thought of it, but I don't remember this, but I got beat up in first grade, and kids stole my snowsuit and made me sit on a snowdrift outside my house.
Oh.
And exactly. And my mother, she said, I went out there and I was screaming. And, you know, and then she said, I just burst into tears because how do kids get so mean at so young? And thinking about that, I'm like, how do kids, surely it's not school if they've only been in school for, you know, 3 months or half a year. It starts somewhere else. And school is a petri dish for things to grow. I mean, there's, I don't know, I haven't researched the statistics yet, but probably like one adult in the building for every 20-some kids.
Mm-hmm.
And it starts somewhere else. It starts deeper. It starts in the family. It starts perhaps through religion, through economics, through things we don't even think about. And so part of the documentary is exploring that. You know, mm-hmm. we have some church leaders, some local business people, some families, some groups that are willing to talk and say, this is our experience. Mm-hmm. Both positive and negative. I mean, it's been pretty amazing, the stuff I've heard. I went into it thinking I had an angle, and now I'm going into it as someone with an open heart.
Mm.
And all, you know, I've been talking with my producers, and they're like, here's your notes, here's this, here's that. And I'm like, I'll read them once, but then I just want to sit down and look at this person. And whatever side of the argument they're on, mm-hmm. I want to hear their story, and mm-hmm. then I want to hear... If I don't agree with them, the question is, please make me understand. And if I do agree with them, I want to share with them with my story.
Right.
So that's one part. That's the pure documentary, you know.
Okay.
Then the second thing I'm doing, which is part of the documentary, after I received Billy's letter, I published part of it in The Advocate and kind of sent it around to contacts and people in my hometown. And I started receiving letters from other people. You know, some anonymous, some not, but basically the gist is saying, here's my story, please share it with this kid and let him know he's not alone. A lot from students, but some from parents, some from, you know, other community members, and some of them hysterical and some of them heartbreaking. Just this amazing collection, almost like of like thoughts in time, you know?
Yeah.
And I'm like, what can I do with these? And I have my own variety show in Los Angeles at the Lily Tomlin's Theater at the Gay and Lesbian Center, and with Dennis Hensley. I'm sure some of your listeners know him. He's very amazing. And isn't he amazing? He's a wonderful man.
He's amazing. He and I had a wonderful trip to Toronto a few years ago where we became buds. So
I had one press trip with him, and now we're best friends.
Yep.
And the whole point of the variety show is to, this is my life's motto, is to give a voice and a stage to all members of all communities. And we've had some people who have, their first performance in L.A. was with us, and now they're on American Idol, have a recording deal, sold their first novel. And I'm like, how can I bring that sort of empowerment through art? Because I want to let everyone know,
yeah.
I'm not a psychologist, I'm not a doctor, I'm not trying to instruct the world on bullying.
Right.
I'm trying, as a filmmaker and an artist, open my heart and have people follow me on a journey. So I've been connecting with old artists in Chicago that I used to used to work with. And when I say artist, I mean an artistic soul. Like,
mm-hmm.
some of these people working on these projects are housewives with
right.
four kids who haven't sang since show choir.
Yep.
Other people, you know, have recording contracts and they're, you know, this, you know, they're big talents, or they're artists that have their own gallery. And basically, I've been sending these letters anonymously to them. And through art, they're going to create something beautiful. And some of the art's been coming in, some of the songs, the demos have been coming in,
mm-hmm.
and I got Billy's letter. Someone's wrote Billy's song. His name's Jefferson Berge. He works and plays downtown throughout Chicago, and every person I play this for starts to cry. And
aww.
Why? The song's uplifting. The song's very folky. It's very beautiful. But to get this letter... know that someone has spent hours, days, you know, sat in a studio
right.
and written this song, it's like, if I can do that for the people of this town, you know, I got letters about abortion. I've got letters about someone's child committing suicide. I've gotten letters just about, like, the teacher I hate because they failed me and I didn't deserve it, and letters about, you know, dumping my boyfriend and why he's a jerk. Like, one of them is just a laundry list of everything I hate about my ex-boyfriend.
Right.
And, you know, just these eclectic letters. And I want, because people didn't sit down with, you know, the intention of me doing anything with these.
Right.
And imagine you, if you wrote me your letter with
right.
some personal pain, and then, you know, someone spent weeks creating something beautiful out of it, and not a single person in the world knows that that is your pain.
Right.
But you have a painting that's going to hang in an art gallery. You have a song that's going to be on iTunes. Like, so we're putting together this event on March 18th in Wheeling, and it's a show, it's a concert, but it's also an art gallery display. It's basically going to be, you know, something a lot of the suburbs don't have. It's very frah-frah, very Los Angeles.
Yeah.
And, you know, an art, you know, I try to explain it to some of my friends and my parents, and they're like, so is it a concert? And I'm like, well, it's a concert, but there's an art gallery, and it boils down to, is there food? And yes, we'll have pizza.
Yeah.
But we're showing off this art, and it has all different mediums, and I want kids to come that have written me letters to see their work, but also we'll have a station where kids can write their own letters.
Mm.
We're also going to create a massive art display. We have hundreds of little canvases. We're going to, everyone just make their own. We're going to attach them into one giant display. And then after we display it, we're going to break it down and sell each piece for charity. So I want everyone to come write their own letter, make their own piece of art, participate in the show, hopefully buy some art, you know, because it's going to charity.
Right.
And people from all over the state are coming, and I think it's important that, you know, kids from the state meet each other, but also parents just stand up and say, like, I love you, I support you. I'm sorry if I've remained silent for too long, but me just standing here is kind of my way of showing support.
Yeah. And this exhibit is called Be the Exhibit. And is that going to be up only on the 18th, or will it be up for a time period? And where is the actual citywide installation?
It's going to kind of break down, but then travel. The show's going to do some other appearances over time throughout the city.
Uh-huh.
The art, some art galleries are going to take a piece. Other people, we hope that, like, you know, my mom said she'll buy my painting if no one else will by the end of the night.
Right.
And so, you know, the exhibit itself, part of the exhibit, we're actually, it's going to be a live art installation that changes and moves throughout the night.
Gotcha.
So if you're not going to be there, you won't get the full feel, but pieces of it will live in Chicago throughout, you know, indefinitely. And I'm really proud of that.
You want people from the city to come to the suburbs, obviously the people from the suburbs to come and have almost a city-like experience that maybe is different, as you said, that they, you know, is not as familiar to maybe somebody who lives more of a suburban life, but maybe feels like an offering that normally would happen in the city, and it's actually happening in the suburbs. And then, you know, getting the word out to have youth be there, I think, would be really important. I mean, gay and straight youth.
Well, I think it's important. I mean, first of all, I want to applaud Chicago. As I'm doing my research, Chicago, it seems, you know, I'm not sure, don't, no one quote me, but it seems to be the most progressive, pro-kid, gay, lesbian city in the country. Like, I see so many programs, theater programs, like about faith. I see certain groups at Improv Olympic. I see amazing things at the center. And I think what's important, part of this is I want kids from the city to come down, or families to come down, because a lot of kids have been told by society, like, this is your struggle, this is what you're trying to prove, this is what you're dealing with. And I don't think some of these kids know how lucky they are to see how none of these outlets or very few of these outlets exist in the suburbs. You know, these kids almost have to represent and show, like, you know, this is what exists out in the world. This is what is 15 miles from your house,
right,
you know?
Right.
Because I've been finding, as much as in the news, pro-gay causes, things getting better, this and that, some GSAs, gay straight alliances, are shutting down, you
yes.
know? Just
yes.
not that the school is shutting them down, but just due to lack of participation or you know, in some cases, apathy and no one wanting to participate. And I think the children, teens, young adults of the city, they have an opportunity, metaphorically, they have a stage and a voice to kind of show suburban America that there are so many gifts out there.
Yeah. So talk to me about, real quickly as we wrap up, how can people support or get involved in 4Billy, the entire project, the installation and event here, the documentary that you're going to be capturing while you're here for the month of March?
Yeah, we if they go to 4billythemovie.com, I'll plug it again. It has, on the website, it has the story in more detail. It has my video, but also it has how you can get involved. We've started a writing campaign called Right Now. And basically, how are you feeling right now? Write us an anonymous letter. So we're garnering letters from all over the world now.
Mm-hmm.
It also says if you want to participate by creating a piece of art, please sign up. I'll send you someone's anonymous letter. It's also giving information on the location. Quick sidebar, sadly, we had a location, and when they found out a little bit more about the documentary, they decided to pull out because, you know, they said, we very much support it. We'll be at the event, but we do not want to support the lifestyle.
Mm.
And that was crushing. So it looks like we're renting out a warehouse and mm-hmm. converting it, which could be cool. But, you know, up until the last minute, it might be in my basement. So
that will really give us an insider's perspective into,
you know, my mother has said, we'll do it. You know, she's like, I'll open up three of the houses next to each other and we'll go from basement to basement. And
yeah.
like, so 4billythemovie.com, it's going to have the location. It has a lot more information. Of course, if there's any rich gays that want to become executive producer, you can make a donation.
Yeah.
But there's just a million ways to get involved, whether you sit down and share your thoughts for 5 minutes on paper, or whether you come to the suburbs for a day, or, you know, also, one more thing, we're doing a rotation of come tell us your story. So it's going to have on their schedule, come to our studio. We're setting up a studio. Everyone gets 10 minutes. And tell us your story. And so far, we have a few hundred people signed up. So if you're in the area and you want to come share your Chicago gay or straight experiences of bullying or alienation or just love and acceptance, we would love to have you come to our studio and share your story as well.
Yeah, great. And they can get that information on the website as well?
Yeah, all it's going up on the website. It's a living website. It's constantly changing, so
yeah.
You'll be able to get updates. I taught myself HTML.
There you go, man.
You've
truly been inspired when you venture into that world. When you're an artist, let me tell you, or you're a theater writer, actor. I can't imagine learning HTML. That would have to take true divine inspiration. So,
yeah, I feel like this project is that. You just look at, you're making a documentary. It's part of the story.
Yeah.
Come at
yeah.
it from a place of love yeah. and continue.
Let me just ask you one closing question. Do you believe this experience has already healed guilt and shame that you had associated with that, your first crush? The loss of his life and you feeling at all responsible of not returning that phone call?
Yes and no, because in some of the friends I've connected with, I've learned some things, I've talked to them, and I've had some amazing conversations. But as a filmmaker, my mom told me, you know, my mom's a very integral part of this.
Yes.
I'm very lucky. She's so loving. You're a person too. and you need to let these things affect you, you know, the good, the bad. And I don't feel, while I'm busy working on camera angles and money and that kind of stuff, I don't feel some of these big events have actually landed in my stomach and my heart.
Yep.
And I think filming, I think standing on Chicago soil, I think going to these places, I think looking people in the eye, I think that will tear me up in a good and a bad way.
Yep.
And I feel that's to come. I feel right now I need to get to Chicago. I need someone to give me a location, and I need to just make sure everyone comes in and their hearts open up, and then I think mine will. So
yeah.
The long and the short of it is I firmly believe it will happen. It just yep. hasn't happened yet.
You are setting yourself right in the middle to have the experience you're supposed to have, and bravely so, and courageously, and with a lot of enthusiasm, and with open arms inviting all of us to get involved. So I will have the website forbillythemovie.com linked in our show notes. Just click on it. You can hear this whole story. You can be a part of the movement. You can connect Michael with other people in the Midwest and in Illinois and in the suburbs and in Chicago that you might want to share the message with as well about this entire these two projects, and hopefully attend the event as well on Friday, March 18th in Wheeling. Michael, I want to thank you so much. Safe travels to Chicago, and we'll be here to welcome you as soon as you land.
Thank you so much, guys. I really look forward to seeing you, and I love you all. We don't say that enough. I love you all.
We don't indeed. Love you back, and thanks for having so much fire and passion for this cause.
Have a wonderful day.
Got something to say? Call us today. 312-21-BE-GAY. Well, everybody, I hope you have a great, great week. We are close to spring, are we not? It is around the corner, and we are getting a little bit of the sunshine and increased warmth, and I hope that that will continue. Coming up in our upcoming shows, I take you to Santa Fe, which is where I spent much of my time in February, and I'm very excited to talk to you not only about people that are choosing in our community to retire in Santa Fe, but also about the city in general and how welcome and wonderful it is as a vacation option for those of us in our community. So that's to come in weeks ahead. I hope you have a great, great week. Thanks for listening to another Windy City Queercast. Special thanks to our Queercast family, Kirk Williamson, newscaster, and Di Sturkey, production editor. I'm Amy Matheny, your host. Please comment on our shows at WindyCityQueercast.com and iTunes. The next Queercast is only days away, so don't miss it. Subscribe today. Windy City Queercast, queer and now.